Hey, New Orleans Pelicans fans, welcome back to the Protect the Nest podcast, part of the Basketball Podcast Network. We're coming to you right here. It's Thanksgiving Eve. Get your turkey stuffing ready. Get your macaroni and cheese. However you want to get your table set, get ready to set it because tomorrow we're going to eat. But tonight, we got to play against the Washington Wizards. The Pels coming in, a 3-15, but they still showing fight. Willie Green, you got to hand it to him. He's holding his team together and doing the best he can. But when you got to start Garrett Temple and Thomas Satoransky, Josh Hart, you really ain't got much to go with. So instead of looking at how the season's going on that end, we're halfway through David Griffin's tenure. And you're already starting to hear, I've seen other Pelicans podcasts on Twitter and social media say, can we get a chant going about getting rid of the front office? Can we do just certain things like that that it really is toxic in nature. It's not really going to help the team on the court. If you're getting them free tickets and going to the arena, you at least want to bring a positive attitude, get a positive environment going in there for the Pelicans. When that, hey, they had that atmosphere, they come out with that win, baby. They beat them Clippers. And I think that's what the team is aiming for, even if it doesn't somehow miss the mark, hit the mark sometimes. But you got to give them some credit. This team's fighting. These players are still wanting to get out there and compete every night. That's part of Willie Green, but hell, that's a big part of Willie Green. And that's what's going to help for this podcast when we go through and look at a David Griffin halfway through performance review. You know, every job has a review. You come along. Again, he got hired April 17, 2019. It's now November 24th. He's had 2.5 years to really build this team up. And you go through the draft. We can look at Zion, Nikhil Jackson, Didi. Zion's been hurt. Can't really judge him. Great generational talent when he can get on the court, but he's never on the court, it seems like. Nikhil, he might have topped out as maybe a 6th, 7th, 8th man. He's going to come off the bench. I mean, even tonight he's going to be coming off the bench, or he did last night. Some of that is so we keep a scoring punch coming off of the bench. Some of that is because Nikhil is showing like he had started minutes and his shot wasn't there. He didn't come out this season like firing on all cylinders. And hell, Willie Green yanked him within 20 seconds the other night. And he come back. Nikhil had a bounce back game. But that just shows you Willie Green, I won't say he's losing his patience, but he's having a short leash with him. He's really going to have some tough love for Nikhil because he really needs Nikhil to be a contributor to this team if they got any chance of staying afloat and treading water before Zion comes back to make a playoff push. Beyond that, looking at that first draft, Jackson Hayes has regressed. I don't know if he's ever really going to make it out here. Didi suspended because of performance-enhancing drugs. Kyra's shot, if it's hitting and he's really attacking, it helps the rest of his game. If he's not, the rest of his game suffers. And Kyra's really suffered just because of the time he come into the league. And he didn't get that first summer league. He didn't get the right developmental time. Didn't get the off-court, off-season work in a way that you can't really do in college. You just get more professional trainers, more time to spend in the gym, get in the lab. And then this year you got Trey Murphy and Herb Jones. Trey is kind of, he's not showing the shine that he had in summer league, where Herb Jones has already played himself into one of the top 10 rookies of the season. He'll be on an all defensive team soon. He may hit the all rookie team this year, and I for one would be voting for him if I was still in a position to have a vote. And that's breaking down the draft real quick. We're going to do this position by position. We'll get to that. Y'all stick with me. But looking at trades, we got B.I. We still got Josh. Lonzo from that first trade of A.D., he's gone for Temple Satoransky, some picks. You got to say, Grip, you lost that trade. You might have won the A.D. trade, depending, but A.D. got his ring. The Lakers got a ring. They got justification for that. You got to see how Brandon Ingram bounces back from this injury, how Josh Hart continues to develop as a leader, which he's done this season. I think everybody has been won over. They're no longer worried about that contract nonsense. They're no longer worried about the non-guaranteed, because the way Josh is playing, somebody's going to guarantee him that money. Josh got his money. Anybody trying to play around saying he's going to get waived and miss out on $26 million, y'all ridiculous. Then you got the Drew trade, which brought back like Bledsoe, Adams, that led to some extensions. Flip all that, you wind up with Jonas Valanciunas, Devontae Graham. It's kind of a wash. Then you look at free agencies. You got to still put free agent or contract extensions in there, I believe, because Jonas didn't have to sign a contract extension if he didn't believe in New Orleans. By getting him to sign an extension, You're getting him to sign as a free agent just a year early before he officially hits that free agent market and is taking it on from other teams. Same for Devontae Graham. The way Josh's contract's set up, he could probably get an extension, tear it up after this year, and get something brand new. So that's great for both him and the team. He'll get paid more, and the team can get some more long-term security, but also play with the salary cap a little bit in the same way the Saints do, and bring a little bit of extra talent in. We got to keep bringing talent in if we want to build this team up in that sustainable championship culture that Griffin always talked about. And again, free agency, you got to say, B.I., he didn't have to. He could have went out and found an offer sheet somewhere if he really wanted out. It would cost him less money in some years, but he'd have been an unrestricted free agent sooner. And then at the low end of the roster, you got Najee, who's really regressed this year. But if this is Griff's review, we got to look at the roster he inherited and do a position-by-position progress breakdown under David Griffin's front office. You got to start with coaching. And if the higher-ups, the presidents, the David Lauskas, Dennis Lauskas, the Hales, Jen, everybody that's above him, up to Miss Benson, come in and talk to him about coaching, Griff could say, well, you made me keep Griffin, or Gentry, that first year. That kind of put me in a bind, both with the coaching profession market, because, look, Griffin went out and tried to get Jacques Vaughn. He tried to get Ty Lue. Both of those guys turned him down one way or the other, and we wound up with Willie Green. But how does that excuse Stan Van Gundy? Well, maybe Willie Green wasn't ready. His star hadn't really jumped out there and shot across the sky like it did with that Suns finals run. So you never know who you could have wound up with instead of Stan Van Gundy. But at least he cut bait from that mistake. They would have to give him credit, even though it still cost them. That buyout still going to cost you some money. You got to say, eventually, the coaching decision has been made right. We have the right guy in place. Willie Green has done everything possible. He did it in summer league. He showed how he brought everybody together. He was both letting people jump in and take bigger parts of in their roles. He was letting coaches come off point and let them run the huddles. And then 30 seconds later, he comes in with his direct messaging. And that communication's been key. And that's why this team is still fighting for him, I think, is because the communication between Willie Green and the players, it's honest. They know they're shorthanded. They know Zion's going to be not coming back for another couple weeks. They know it's going to be tough. But they know with Willie Green in there preaching to them every day, they know they're going to be in this fight together. And at the other end, it's like that Be High, Bun B podcast. And they explain, it's not, if you're out there fighting every night, you're going to take some L's. If you're out in the streets throwing hands, you're going to take some L's. It's about how you take it. And this team's taking it well, all except for that one game where they got five techs in the first. I mean, the national anthem wasn't over, and they already had technical fouls, it seemed. But in this review, the coaching is right. And before we move on to the players, let me tell you a little bit about DraftKings Sportsbook. The NHL season's underway. NFL, NBA, we're really into the thick of the winter sporting season. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. And if that's not your thing, they got some other promos that you can jump in. But if you bet just $1 on an NHL game, you can win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. That's right. As long as it ain't a 0-0, draw, tie, whatever they call it in hockey stick puck. $1 bet, you win $100. Doesn't even matter how it goes in. Could be a team scored on itself. It does not matter. As long as there's a one and it's not two goose eggs, you win in $100. If the sports book is not available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everybody can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. They got basketball, football, UFC, you name it, they got it. And DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at $1 million and total prizes with their first deposit. So, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TBPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal this week. One puck in the net nets you with one big promotion, $100. Just use promo code TBPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. A minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. But let's get back to the players in this roster. Look, the Pelicans, they took a gamble way back in the day on DeMarcus Cousins. If he doesn't chase that free throw, I think we still have a dynasty here with him, AD, and Drew running the league. I always believe that, and since it's a history, you can't ever tell me that what would have happened or not. I'm going to always believe that. Boogie doesn't chase that free throw. Those Pelicans with Boogie, AD, and Drew would have won a second-round series eventually. I just believe it. But you had to take a chance, especially when he hurt himself. Yeah, you got to let him go. AD wants out. He's making his trade demands. He's wearing them T-shirts to say, that's all, folks. And you take your gambles on the center position. Yeah, we brought in Adams, but now we got Jonas Valanciunas. We've got him for 3 years, $45-50 million. And we've got the center position locked down as far as starting centers. I think behind him, yeah, Jackson may not be the key. He may be too small, too lithe. He's going to have to move out to the four. He may not be ready for the five or the four as the second man off the bench. Willie Hernan Gomez might have to be that man until we find or draft somebody that could come in and play a center and give Valanciunas some rest some days. But with that ghost of DeMarcus Cousins, the abandonment of Anthony Davis, Adams wasn't bad, but he wasn't great neither. So we had to move on. The money wasn't right. We found a replacement in Giannis that's just perfect. I don't think we could find something better unless you went out and got like a Karl Anthony Towns, Joel Embiid, and that's double the money. That's double the usage rate. That's really just playing with the dynamics of this team. And if we're growing up young with Zion and B.I. as the leads, the center position, the starting center position, is sorted and settled for this year, next year, the year after that. Next 3 years, we set. Just let Jonas Valanciunas run this. Moving down, power forward. He may play point Zion, but he's still going to basically be the power forward because Zion's going to have to get down on a low block. He's going to have to bang with some bodies because he's got the body to bang. And let's talk about that for a second because they had that article out. I forget her name. I'm so sorry. And I'm doing this away from the house. But there was an article about fat shaming and Zion. And yet there's sort of a fine line there, a gray area, because, they're athletes. And it depends on if you're placing it on them to actually care. But we don't know if the problems with his weight is of his own doing or something else. And I think that's what the article was touching on. And let's be honest here, if you're the sort of person just making endless fat jokes about Zion, you're probably not someone with like the firm ethical boundaries to direct those insults towards people in a good way, in any way that's kind of got some taste to it. There are people who are legally required to perform certain things for their job, astronauts and whatnot, and you've got to hold them to certain manageable expectations and challenges, and you could see them as maybe overweight. I know this is big in the modeling career, fashion weeks, that sort of stuff, but you get into the domain where it's not really nuanced takes. If you're just being hateful to be hateful, even if you don't know or agree that you're being hateful, you're really not welcome in the conversation. And we don't know if Zion's problem is that he doesn't care, which I think would be, quite frankly, a bullshit take from anybody to say that Zion doesn't care. You've seen him out there. He's doing the work. You hear from Windhorse, he's doing sweat equity. We see him before and after games, doing workouts up in the press box. And that's where you got to say it. If his problem, if it's a seriously having problems, trouble managing his weight, and it's a result of, say, maybe a mental health related issue and stress eating, for example, being very common, a physical issue, something where, the team's admitted he gains weight pretty easily and, he can lift weights for a week and gain 8 pounds. It could be something just they had a few days off, they had a couple of days flying. And to no fault of his own, eating right, doing everything he can, just not being able to be active, then he gains a little bit of weight. That's where the team will have to come in to give him some support. A therapist, perhaps, if it's a mental thing, if it's getting trust outside of his comfort zone and his small group of friends, family, that gets the reputation of kind of sheltering and keeping Zion, secluded and away from some of the problems. Maybe that's where a therapist would help link those two camps And then maybe it's just the nutritionist, again, learning more and more about his body still growing, the metabolism still getting there. His family's, his mom's come out and said she cut out bacon and a bunch of sauces and stuff that's more sticking to salmon. The team has changed up some of their protocols for the health and diet and the buffet that they've got in the team's room. All that is still a learning process. So we'll reserve judgment on his weight until we see him actually out there trying to play the game. We'll see if he's overweight and it's hurting his cardio, if he's just, you know, a growing boy that's still barely 20, 21 years old getting there. He ain't putting on no beer belly. This is just somebody that's going to have to deal with this. And if he does learn to manage it and stay on the court, the rest of the league can watch out, because that's when he'll be really dangerous. Behind them, though, it's question marks just like center and Giannis. Jackson may not ever pan out. We're just going to have to start admitting that going into his third year. Garrett Temple, you know, he's 12, 13-year veteran, but he's not going to be a long-term answer. He might not be a short-term answer if you've been watching the games. Even filling in, he's starting now. He's not ready, or not ready. He's just not capable of handling starter minutes for a playoff team. Maybe he can bump back and just play the 10 to 20-minute range, depending on the night, filling in some spots. You got Josh Hart, who can fill in at the four. You know, he's going to be outgunned, but hey, he guarded KD pretty well when Brooklyn came to town. You know, I think Josh can do that job. We ask him to do that job so much that it makes him look bad some nights, and then that's where you get some of that discourse and the commentary around, should we re-sign him? Is that too much? Mid-level exception nonsense, where if you really put Josh in a position to succeed, he's going to succeed and excel against in the spots he's supposed to. He's never supposed to exceed and excel. Y'all know what I'm saying there. When he's going up against a Harden or a KD, you just got to try and hold your ground. And that's where Herb Jones might come in handy. But he's still a developing prospect. We can't throw him into deep minutes and expect playoff results yet from him, just because he hasn't proved it. He's shown that he's capable of it most nights. There's just some moments he still gets caught out. And I love Herb Jones, but we're still going to have to give him – he's going to have to go through a few more growing pains before we can just give him, say, the four spot and let Zion run his point, Zion, and we forget about the point guard situation. Because we're getting there. We're getting there. Small forward, we got Josh. We got Najee. B.I. bumped up. Herb around there. Garrett. We still need some other person on the wing. Trey Murphy – I could see him growing into the person opposite B.I., but he hasn't shown that yet. He's not even getting time right now. So that's where if Gentry's going in, Griffin's going in for a job review, you got to say your draft was looking great, but then they all started playing. They all needed to start contributing. And it's always fun to project talent and potential, but when it's time for them to show up and produce, you're going to get a little bit harsher criticism. The grading comes harder. You know, this ain't kindergarten. This is a different form of art project. You're going to be graded differently. This is a different person buying it. This isn't college where you can be creative, turn in a project, and the teacher shows some sympathy for you. No, this is the professional level. This is millions of dollars at stake. This is people that wants that job from you. And they have to toil away in Europe right now. And if they ever get up from there, the G League, They got some dog in them. They coming for you. So we got to find some of them dogs to go on the wings. I don't think we've settled that yet. If we look at sorted positions, we got center settled. We got power forward settled. Giannis, Zion. At the three, you can say B.I., but B.I. might be better suited for the two. That's a conversation we've had. And all them names, Josh, Najee, B.I., Herb, Trey Murphy, Didi, they can bounce around. Nikhil. Kyra might even bump into a combo guard, especially when Zion's running point. But I think we've got the bigs figured out. We haven't replaced, like, say, so in that case, Griffin can go in and say, I replaced AD. The biggest job walking in was Anthony Davis demanding a trade. I replaced him. It took a couple years, but we got Jonas Valanciunas. We also got Zion to replace AD as far as the star name on the marquee. So that's good. Drew, Lonzo, I mean, maybe you could say B.I. would be the replacement, so to speak, for Drew. Not a like for like, but a star level fringe all-star type, because Drew never really got that love. B.I. got in once as a replacement. He's going to be on the fringes. So Zion replaced AD. B.I. replaces Drew. Giannis is the cherry on top. You still got to replace Lonzo because Temple and Satoransky didn't do it. All these draft picks we've got nest egged away for the future years, we've got to do something with to bring in just one more lead guard is good. Devontae Graham's good. He's undersized. He might have to play off the ball a little more than usual the same way. But look, Kyle Lowry went from leading a team, stepping aside for Kawhi, then going to Miami and fitting in with Bam and Jimmy Buckets. We got to find one more piece without giving up any of our core pieces moving forward, who are Valanciunas, Josh Hart, Zion, B.I. You keep those four, I wouldn't even mind trading Devontae Graham as long as he brought in a lead guard. We got to replace what Lonzo was giving us because Satoransky and Temple ain't doing it. And if it costs a little bit that way, I'm fine with it. But I'd almost at this point rather give up Graham than Josh because we've got more flexibility with him going forward. We know what Graham would be. We know where he's going to be out on the salary cap. And we know he just ain't growing much more. Josh is still growing into a leadership role. He wanted to be here. And that would be my core going forward. If the high-level execs called in Griffin and he had to give a job progress review, he could say, well, when I came in, we had one player who wanted to be here in Drew. We had a bunch of players like Kenrich Williams, Frank Jackson, and you know, Christian Wood wasn't sorted and settled. Nobody knew he was going to be what he is now. He went and took that one player and Davis wanting out and created it where you got four players that can lead a playoff team. Most of them want to be here. Josh and B.I. have said they wanted to be here. Giannis re-upped. Zion, we're going to have to take him at his word, but that's the best we can do. So we got a core there. In that core, you don't have a guard that can get everybody else better shots. Graham hadn't proven that yet. He hadn't had a chance to do it because Zion's not there. But to wrap this up, we're coming up on the 20-minute mark. We're getting into halftime, 24 minutes, a half hour. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I want to get this out so y'all can listen to it before this game. We gotta get that point guard. And we got to get some wins. They're going to happen. They're going to come. The team will get healthier. B.I., maybe he needs to sit out and just get fully rested so he can come back and have everybody as much as together as possible, minus Zion, until whatever he comes back. But with all these calls, I'll tell y'all now in the press box, I've only heard one mention of Griffin not making it to at least see 2022. I've only heard one person think that he would perhaps be ousted before the end of this season. A couple think, you know, depending on how it rolls out, if there's any more stories, how this team starts looking, you know, I know Schmidt had mentioned, you know, this team doesn't like to be looking embarrassed and egg on their face in Chris Connor's spaces. You know, there's a couple that think he doesn't get to start. He doesn't make it to the draft. You know, he only gets 3 years on the job. But then most of us think, I would say on a non-scientific straw poll, most of us, 75% of us, home and away, media, broadcast team, whatever, most of us think that he'll get through the draft and get to start next year. The team will not give him a contract extension unless he makes the playoffs next year. And I'm not talking 10-9-8 seed. I'm talking about a decent seed. And wins a series by his fifth year. If he hasn't won at least four playoff games in the same series, won a series, got a few others, by his fifth year, nice project. Appreciate you, Griffin. You line this up with a core four, core three. You put a coach in place, but the rest of the roster building, you're not cutting it. It's not getting cut out. We have to bring somebody else in or elevate Trajan and Swin up and see if they could build this roster around Giannis, Zion, B.I. That's the nature of the game, and I think both sides would agree that that is the most logical conclusion and the best way of going about it. Cutting bait with Griffin now would cost the team a lot of money, you know, just in guaranteed. You know, he signed a 5-year deal. You got to pay that out, like the coaches. Benson don't want to have all that dead money on the books, even if it doesn't count towards a salary cap or a luxury tax. That's just bad business. It's good business to let him keep giving him a chance. There's only so much he could do wrong at this point. Let him see how he plays this out. He's halfway through, and let's see the next 18 months. At the end of 18 months, if we haven't won a playoff series, maybe you cut bait that last year. Maybe you let him get into the season, and you cut bait before the trades start happening, and you give that to Trajan and Swin or somebody else as an interim. Or maybe even wait that out, depending on how the team's doing. You just start making all those moves the next summer with a clean slate. But I don't see a big move happening before New Year's. I don't see one happening before this year's out. But I do see there being a very hard, critical, skeptical review of David Griffith's job performance going into next year, going into this draft. The executives above him will see and go and look and determine, do we really want him running another draft? You've had three. Do you give a man four drafts? College coaches get, three recruiting classes. What will a GM, executive vice president like Griffin get in a small market like New Orleans trying to get this New Orleans Pelicans team to the playoffs? It'll be interesting to watch. Be interesting to see. Hope to see y'all out at the Smoothie King Center. If you haven't done so, go over to wherever you listen to this podcast. Throw us a 5-star review. And, hey, if you see me out at the arena, usually I'm going to be wearing a Music, Movies, and Hoops or a Protect the Nest shirt. Catch me. I'm always handing out little goodies. Sometimes it's a Zion rookie card. Other times it's Kyra Lewis, Herb Jones. Just a little bit here and there and wherever. So, y'all protect your nest. Y'all have a good Thanksgiving. Check out the Basketball Podcast Network for all your team needs. If you want to check out other teams, go to DraftKings. Use the promo code TBPN. Hook us up. I'm going to keep hooking y'all up with podcasts. Again, thank y'all so much. Happy Thanksgiving. Protect your nest.